All right, and if you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. I think my brother and my dad got together and thought it would be super funny to play a joke on me. Because they've done that before, you know. If you've ever talked to either one of them on the phone, they sound a lot alike. And so this one day, I called my dad, I believe is how that went, and I was like, hi, Dad, and I'm talking to him, and he just sounds weird, and I'm like, whatever, so I just keep talking to him, and I'm like, Dad, is this you? And he's like, then I hear the key word, yes, sweetie, and I'm like, are you sure it's not Eddie? And he's like going on and going on. Well, this went on for way too long. And then I hear my dad start laughing in the background. And Eddie's like, it's me. And I'm like, what? I was so mad. And I got to the church the next day. And I'm like, totally not funny. You're a liar. And that's horrible. And I'm like, looked at my dad. I'm like, Dad, you let him do this. And Dad's like, I'm sorry. Well, they do it to my mom, too. I'm like, you guys are horrible. So I think they thought it would be really funny if I got a text yesterday at like, 5, 6 o'clock at night saying, hey, you might want to be ready to preach tomorrow. And I'm like, seriously? Eddie is where he's supposed to be. Eddie is supposed to be ministering in our church in Hood River. So he and Stacy are there. My dad's not where he's supposed to be because my dad is sick. And if he misses church, you know the man is sick. So I'm sorry, but you have to deal with me, and there are no refunds or exchanges. So you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. So that's what we teach our kids, okay? But no, please harass them, give them a horrible time, because obviously our worship team, we were down of several people, so we were like Twilight Zone and let's play different instruments. Why not? We were going to put Sally on the drums, but she didn't want to make Jimmy look bad. So it has been a crazy kind of 24 to 48 hours as we've been preparing for worship. And then I got that text last night. So we're going to just see what happens. Is that okay with you guys? Okay. Be praying for my dad, though. This from Thursday on, for those of you that care, it's called March Madness, and it's this huge college basketball tournament. Just out of my curiosity, anybody else care? Anybody? Okay, my mom. Okay, Josh. Thanks. It's a big deal in our house, super big deal. And so I told my dad, I'm like, well, Dad, if you're going to be sick, you might as well be sick on March Madness. Well, then I come to find out my mom said he's too sick to watch the games. And I'm like, I just want to cry for you, Dad. Like, it's almost better than Christmas. We love this weekend and this week and the whole tournament. So really be praying for him. I'm praying that he gets better enough to watch a couple games because that's a big deal. You might not care, and that's really okay. We can get along together. I'll watch all the football, and you can do whatever else you want to do. How's that sound? Okay. All right. I have stalled long enough. Are we all at John chapter 5? That's really why I was telling that really dumb story. It was just to give y'all time to turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. I am excited to be able to preach. I'm always excited, and I was just praying last night. I wasn't sure where this was going to go, and so I really believe, though, that there's going to be something in here for all of us. Maybe if not right now, but maybe coming soon. So, John chapter 5. What we have here is Jesus and his disciples have been ministering, healing the sick, doing exactly actually what we just prayed, healing the blind eyes, healing the deaf ears, healing those that were lame, causing them to walk again. And in John chapter 4, the chapter right before that, you have the story of the woman at the well. And I like the woman at the well because she's full of excuses. Anybody else? We have all the excuses for the reasons why things aren't the way they should be. I had a lot of good excuses growing up, and even into my adult years. But my most creative excuses come when my alarm clock goes off. Anybody else? I am amazed at the clarity of thought and the planning my brain can do when I am practically asleep. If I do this and if I wear this outfit, then I can sleep a little bit longer. And if I only do this for breakfast and take that with me, then I can do this. And if I blah, blah, blah. Anybody else? I mean, your brain is just at work doing good things, right? It's crazy. And I thought my excuses were good until I had kids. We have three boys, Jimmy and I. And I think Jimmy and I are pretty creative people. But our children... Logan is 8. He's on the front row today. And then we have Jacob, 5, and Connor is 1. I am amazed at the level of genius of excuses Logan and Jacob can give us for not cleaning their room, for not putting their stuff away, for not eating their dinner. I mean, I'm not sure, but I think they sit in their room and they just sit and they think, all right, let's think of excuses to give mom and dad. Because some of the stuff they come up with is just pure genius. And honestly, Logan, plug your ears. There are sometimes Jimmy and I laugh way super, super hard, but we're trying to discipline them, so that doesn't work out so well. But they are hilarious. I didn't realize kids could be that funny or that smart. I mean, anybody else understand what I'm talking about? It is so funny, the excuses that these kids have. You can unplug your ears now. He's such an obedient child. He still heard me, though. But in John chapter 4, we have the woman at the well who is just has every excuse in the book. And Jesus sees through that. He calls her out on the carpet, and then he brings her into her full purpose and full calling. See, her excuses were keeping her from doing what she was created to do. Because as soon as she leaves her water jar, leaves her excuses, what does she do? She goes into her town and evangelizes her entire town. Her excuses were keeping her from walking in the fullness of her calling. And in John chapter 5, we have a man and his mat. And I don't usually do titles, but at one point in time, I titled this The Man and His Mat. So that's the title if you write down titles. I don't have them often, so you might want to write it down. In John chapter 5, we meet a man who has an excuse. And a lot of you kind of chuckled, but I think all of us understand excuses. We all have them, and there's the phrase that says they're kind of like armpits. We all have them, and they all stink, right? I have said that many times to my kids, and they look at me like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But it's true. We all have excuses. But today, in the reference of this message, I think God is calling some of us in this room to do something. And that's something you kind of have to fill in the blank because it's going to be different for all of us. For some of us in this room, God is calling you to take a step out of faith into your calling. To finally make the move. To finally do the thing. Whatever that thing may be, you know exactly what it is if this is speaking to you. He's calling you to take that one step. And you haven't taken that step yet because of all the excuses. For some of you, God's calling you to a different area of prayer and fasting. And it's just that one step, but you keep making excuses. For others, I think God's calling you to just reach out in your neighborhood. To reach out to a neighbor that maybe you haven't talked to before. And it's that step, but you keep making excuses. Or maybe there's a volunteer opportunity that you've been presented with, and you really want to, and it really pulls at something inside of you, but yet you have excuses for not doing it. Whatever it may be, God has spoken. There's something you're supposed to do. Maybe it's a switch in your finances. Or maybe because of maybe it's an issue your children is having with dietary things. You have to change your entire way your family eats. It could be anything. And it's this one step you have to take. And you haven't taken it yet because of our excuses. And here's the thing. A lot of our excuses are driven by fear. And to one end, if God is calling us to do something, we don't want to let him down. So a lot of times our fear is, I don't want to embarrass you, God. I don't want to make you look bad, so I'm just going to not. Another excuse is, well, I just don't have enough time to do it. Or another excuse could be, I just don't think I'm able. Or another excuse, I can't find, oh, there. I have a whole list of them right here. I went online last night and was like, what's like the top excuses people use for not coming to work or for being late, okay? I wasn't usually late until I had kids. I don't blame them, but we're all part of the problem, aren't we? Yeah, it's probably me. Now, here's some top excuses, ready? Traffic, that seems legit. An appliance broke down. Sick family members. Alarm clock issue. Was the issue you like throwing it across the room, or what was the issue, right? Being sick, oversleeping, bad weather, you forgot something. Huh? Too cold to work. I know that is none of you here because we live in the Pacific Northwest and we are prepared even in May for a snowstorm to happen should it appear. We're ready. We're prepared. So that's not us. Okay. Morning sickness. Oh, thank God that's not me. Okay. The coffee was too hot. We are pretty particular about our coffee here. I fell asleep in the parking lot, which is better than on the road or while driving. Can I get an amen? Okay. Let's see. I forgot where I work. Anyone ever used that before? Anyone? Jim? No? Okay. I couldn't find my work schedule. I ran out of milk. And last but definitely not least, please raise your hand if this has ever been you, lost your keys. Oh. You know they have these little like thingies you can put on your key and it attaches to your phone and like it'll beep? I'm going to get it for you. I have one at home. Yeah. Do you have one? Lost it. Perfect. Okay. We're going to take another offering. No, just kidding. No. So we have all these excuses. Okay. But in all seriousness, those aren't the excuses we need when it comes to God, is it? It's things more like fear. And it's, I don't want to embarrass God. I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't have the ability. I just don't have the time to do it. Whatever the excuse may be, it is keeping us from walking in obedience to what God has for us. So we find this man in John chapter 5. We're going to start reading at verse 1, so follow along with me. I'm reading from the NIV. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" We're going to stop right there. So we have this man who has been here for 38 years. And I was reading up on some research, and the lifespan of a man in this day was 40 years. So this guy's looking at maybe 2 years left, maybe if I'm lucky, a little bit more. And he has been like this for 38 years. Kind of similar to the woman last week that Eddie spoke about, the woman with the issue of blood. It had been happening for so many years. Desperate for a miracle, desperate for a touch. What's interesting is that the word Bethesda can mean one of two things. It can mean place of outpouring, or it can mean house of grace. So this man who has been in this condition for 38 years constantly comes to the place of outpouring or the house of grace, wanting, desperately seeking an outpouring of the grace of God to heal him. What's crazy to me about, we'll get to his excuse in a second. What's crazy to me about excuses is we try everything in our own power to make it work. God may call us to do something. God may call us to step out. God may call us to start something new. And we try to figure it out how we are going to make it happen. He kept coming to this pool when Jesus, the healer of the sick, the one who had placed his hands and made blind eyes open, the one who had healed the deaf, made the lame to walk again, he's coming to the pool when the healer is out walking around amongst the people. He was coming to what logically made sense to him, but it wasn't working. He was coming to a pool that, and he had hopes that it would help. People had reported been healing once they believed the angel of the Lord would stir the water, and the first person or the first group in would receive healing. So that's what he tells us later. Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." So again, he's sitting here. He's in the presence of Almighty God, and he gives his excuse. And it's a pretty legit excuse. He can't physically get into the pool. I remember having a pretty legit physical excuse myself. Several years ago, when I really felt like God was calling me more into the area of worship, I had always loved music, but this was different. It was leading a team, and it was singing with a microphone in my face, and that always kind of scared me, because I remember when I just felt this was beginning to happen, and I remember telling the Lord, "I'm not sure if you remember this, Jesus, but I can't hear." And I don't know if you remember either that singing and music things, you kind of have to be able to hear. Because if you've ever heard someone who's tone deaf, don't nudge your spouse. That's not nice. It's a joyful noise that you make unto the Lord. And I was like, our family here at Landmark, God deserves more than a joyful noise. I can't hear, so I can't sing well. That was my physical, human response. And honestly, when you look at the mechanics of singing and how your ear helps with that, it's a big deal. I mean, Beethoven could play the piano without hearing, sawed the legs off and felt the vibration. I've never felt the vibrations like that, so that was also going to be an issue. And then as I was in youth ministry, I was discipling and mentoring young girls, and I'm sitting across the table from these girls, and they're having a really hard time pouring out their heart, and I'm having to say, "What? Can you repeat yourself?" And I'm like, "Lord, this isn't working. This isn't working. I need my ears to be able to work, to do what I feel like you've called me to do. It just doesn't add up." Anybody else ever feel like that? The things God's called you to do and what you're capable of doing just don't add up. And that's where this man was. What he knew he needed, healing, he was seeking from the pool. And it was a good spot. There had been healings happening before. But in his own logic, in his own mind, as he's trying to figure it all out, it just isn't going to happen. For 38 years I've come, I'm discouraged, but at least I'm still showing up, hoping that maybe someone will accidentally kick me in. Right? And then Jesus shows up. And Jesus, like he did at the woman in the well, the woman at the well, Jesus comes to this man who's at the pool. I mean, Jesus could have just kicked him in. Jesus could have been, "Do you want to be well?" And he's like, "Well, there's no one here to put me in." Jesus could have been, "You know what? We got this. We'll wait with you, and we'll wait, and when the water stirs, we're just going to throw you in. Perfect. Not a problem." But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't want to meet him on his human reasoning. Jesus wants to do something supernatural in his life so that there's no shred of doubt that it wasn't his ability at all. It was God's. And when it comes to our excuses, that's what the Lord spoke over me when he said, "I have not called you to figure out how you make the thing work. I've called you to be obedient. And when I've called you into worship ministry or into youth ministry, you do your part, and I," God says, "will make up the difference. I will make up the difference. I will be what you cannot be in and of yourself. I know who you are. I created you." And he took me to that scripture in Isaiah that says, "Can the clay jar tell the creator, why did you make me this way?" No, that's not our place. because the potter made that clay pot for a specific intended purpose. I was created on purpose for a purpose, and that included some hearing loss. That did not catch God off guard. When he was forming me and knitting me together in my mother's womb, when he was crafting me, he knew what my heart would have to endure when it would be broken at the age of 18 and 19 years old. He would understand that that heart would be able to have to endure betrayal and feeling forsaken. So as he is crafting and forming in my mother's womb, he knew what he needed to make my heart be able to endure. He would know that he would call this precious baby that was in my mama's womb. He would call her to be a worship leader and a youth pastor and whatever else God had designed. So he crafted me in such a way that he knew that hearing loss would come. It would be found out in fifth grade that she would be stubborn and not get hearing aids till long after she was married. He knew all that and created me. He didn't sit here and say, okay, we're going to call her to be a worship pastor, deal with music and work with young people and whatever else I'm going to call her to do, God knows. And he wasn't like, but there's going to be a problem. How is this going to work? Because she's going to have hearing loss. I'm just going to figure that out when we get there. When she figures it out, then that'll give me time to come up with a plan. No, the Bible says, while I was being formed in my mother's womb, he saw all of my days before one of them had been lived. So he knows exactly what that, as he was crafting and creating, he knew exactly how he needed to make me in order to do what he had called me to do. So what has he called you to do? What area of your life is he calling you to surrender or to submit or to sacrifice? What area is he calling you to lay aside your excuses and remind you that he knows who he created? He understands our shortcomings. He understands where we don't feel like we measure up, and yet he still speaks. He still calls, because hear this, our excuses will always be about our ability. Our excuses always have to do with what we can't do, where we fall short. God never asks us for our excuses. He asks us for obedience. He wants to set us up to be in a position to be dependent on his ability. Why? So that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God working through us and not ourselves. When he would do the miracles back in the Old Testament, he would often say that. This is going to be done so that they will know I am God. He wants to remove the human reasoning element out of it so that we full well know and walk in our dependence upon God. He knows we can't do it. He knows where we're limited. And he says, at the end of you is where I'm just getting started. So whenever I come and I lead our team or I sing, I am reminded on a weekly basis that I cannot do this. I am reminded on a daily basis, this is not about me. Someone told me my sweater makes me blend into the carpet, and I like that because then you can't see me. I'm like hidden. Because it's not about me, and it's not about me being seen or me being heard. It's about me being a willing, obedient vessel that God can work through. See, we look at our excuses as all the reasons why God can't use us, when God looks at our excuses as all the reasons why he can. We look at the excuses as an imperfection. But go back to the image of a clay jar. Second Corinthians says, we have this treasure, which is the light of Christ, in earthen vessels. And we look at that and we think, okay, but if it's a perfect jar, no cracks, no holes, no bumps, no bruises, no dents, then it can be used. Then it can be displayed to house the light of Christ and the glory of God to be shown. Guess what? When what we would call an imperfection, a crack, a dent, a hole, what does God see? He sees finally what my glory can shine through. So whatever your excuses have been to keep you from not doing what God is calling you to do, lay the excuse down. Lay it down and grab an at-once faith. Read with me. John 5, we'll start back at 7. Jesus has just asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," he replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes on ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, verse 9 tells us, at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. We need an at-once kind of faith. We need to have an at-once kind of obedience. God desires quick obedience from us. If we as parents want quick obedience from our kids, how much more do we need to be quickly obedient to our Heavenly Father? The things he is calling you and I to do, he doesn't want us to sit here at the pool saying, "Well, in my estimation, this is what's going to bring my healing, and this is what's going to make me well." When God is saying, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. I am the healer. I am your source. I am the pool that you need to come to find your healing. Not something that's down here. That's a good idea, but I'm the best idea." And that's the thing, is I think so many of us are walking around trying to figure out how the call of God is supposed to look in our life. We're trying to figure out how it's supposed to work, and we're bringing our human reasoning into it, which God gave us that. He gave us a brain. He gave us intellect. He gave us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. We need to use it. Yes, absolutely. But when it comes to matters of faith, we have to let that slide, let that step aside and walk in faith, because faith doesn't make logical sense. Faith doesn't make sense to our human reasoning. That's why he said, "You've got to trust in me and not lean on your own understanding." Do what you can, what God is calling you to do. But when it comes to an area where it just doesn't make sense, you obey what the word of the Lord has told you to do. Turn with me to one of my favorite scriptures, and that's Proverbs chapter 3. We think our excuses are going to change God's mind, and he's going to take back the call that he has put on our life. Romans would tell us that God's call and his giftings are irrevocable. He's not going to change his mind. Back to the image of us being formed in our mother's womb. He knew exactly what he was going to call you to do, call you to be, while he was forming you. You are more than capable. Why? Because of Christ. You are more than capable. Why? Because of what Jesus did for us. You are more than capable. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. The good thing about short notice is I'm almost done. So y'all are going to get out super early. You're welcome. Okay? Rub that in my brother's face. No. I'm teasing. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look at your neighbor and say, "It says all." It says all. And lean not, look at your neighbor and say, "Lean not." Look at the other neighbor and say, "Do not lean." And lean not on your own understanding. I won't look if you need to nudge somebody. Verse 6, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That word submit is the Hebrew word yada, which means to know. And it's knowing through experience. So this is my favorite way to describe that. You can read books on childbirth, but unless you've been through it, you don't know it. Make sense? You can read books, you can watch movies on what it's like to climb the Swiss Alps. You could even do virtual reality skydiving thing indoors Jimmy and I did that for his 40th birthday, and that's what I picked, was the Swiss Alps. So I have this like virtual reality thing, glasses on, and it was crazy nuts. And it made you kind of feel like you were skydiving in the Swiss Alps. But I know if I were to actually do that, it would be completely different than the simulation. We can read the books, we can watch the movies, we can see the TV shows, but unless you experience it, you don't fully know it. Does that make sense? That's what this word submit or yada in Hebrew means, to know by experience. So here's the thing, in all your ways, submit to him. What it's referring to is you can easily obey and submit to God's leadership in your life because you know him. You know him by personal experience. Well, how do you do that? Building your relationship with Christ. Another thing our excuses is based on is our limited knowledge of who God is. If we think God's going to fail us, we're not going to obey. But if we spend time in his word and spend time praying and spend time worshiping and spend time getting to know our Savior and our Lord, we will know by experience who he is and further enable ourselves to submit to him because we'll trust him. Our trust in God is directly related to our knowledge and our experience of him. I'm not talking about emotional experience. I'm talking about time spent with him. Does that make sense? Time spent with him, getting to know his heart, getting to know his heart for me, and getting to know my heart back to him. That is building my relationship. It's daily reading the word and daily listening to what he's speaking, daily worshiping, daily praying. Well, I don't have time to do that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You do. I promise. We have time for the things that are important to us. Find time. Maybe that's what God's calling you to do. Maybe that is your step of obedience, is carving out time and making a priority of your time with the Lord. Maybe you've let it slide, not by anything bad you've done. It's not some sin, but that's what Hebrews says in chapter 12. It says, I should find it so I don't misquote it. But it says, it's not just the sin that tangles us up. It's just the stuff of life. The stuff of life can tangle us up. The worries and the cares of the day that we're facing. So why not prioritize our time with the Lord and allow him to speak into us? He knows what the day ahead is going to take. He knows what the day ahead of you is going to require. So as we spend time with him and we get to know him, we're able to trust him. Just like your parents, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids. The more your kids get to know you, the more they trust you. The more you get to know your spouse as you're in that beautiful time of dating and then you get engaged, you're building a relationship together. And as you build that knowledge of each other, you're able to trust each other. It's the same way with our relationship with God. He says, trust in me with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. I'm going to read that to you in the Message. In the Message version, it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. That's what it means when it says lean not on your own understanding. It means I'm trying to figure this problem out all on my own. This says don't do that. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. So what are our excuses? What is standing in the way of us crossing that line, stepping across into obedience? Is it talking to someone? Is it talking to one of your pastors? Is it stepping across and finally doing what God's asked you to do in prayer and fasting? Is it starting that volunteer opportunity? Is it befriending that person? Is it bringing restoration to a relationship? Is it getting a little more serious about carving time out for your time with the Lord? Whatever it may be, or maybe God is calling you into ministry and you haven't told anybody yet because you're too afraid. Too afraid to fail. Let me remind you, our excuses speak to our ability. And we think that discredits us from what God's called us to do. It gives us a pass. Well, I don't have to do what you've called me to do because I've got a pass. When God says, your excuses are the very reasons why. And we're going to use that to prove to you that he is God and we are not. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are so much better than ours. And the plan that he has for your life, if you follow him, will bring you the most joy and the most fulfillment that you can possibly imagine. For some in this room, I really feel that for you, it's your past. It's the things that you've done in the past. It's the things you would say, if you only knew. If you only knew what I did, you would know God doesn't have a plan for me. And that could not be further from the truth. God saw whatever thing that you're referring to, God saw that before you even did it. And the Bible says, while we were still in our sin, he died for us. While you were, even before that thing happened, God had already called you and gave you a hope and a future for your life. Before that act was even committed, God knew it would happen and knew what he had called you to do. Our acts of sin, our sinful choices, do not take away the fact that you are called by God with a purpose. That God has good things for you. That God has good in store for you, or that God could use you. Because let's just take a little gander to our friend Paul. Paul did some horrific things, and yet God used him to turn this world upside down. Used him to pen over half the New Testament. There is nobody too far gone, not even you. So take that excuse of your past, leave it at the foot of the cross, and walk in forgiveness that Christ died to give you. Walk in the power of the resurrection that Christ died and rose again so that you could live with the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I am excited to see what's going to happen as all of us begin to take a simple at-once attitude and step out in obedience. Step out in obedience and just say, God, excuses and all, use me. Excuses and all, I want you just to lay to rest everything that I keep bringing up to you. God, I just want to be willing for you to use me and to touch people in my world for you. I'm not perfect. God is not expecting us to be. Our world doesn't need perfection. Our world needs real. And what we can bring them is the forgiveness and the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please stand with me today? Let's just bow our head right now. Jesus, I just pray right now, Holy God, that those that are in this room that very much feel, as soon as the words came out of my mouth, they thought, yes, God, it's this. You have asked me to do this, and I haven't done it yet. Because I have all these reasons why. I have all these excuses. So right now I pray, as we are wrapping up this service, that you would lay those excuses down. That you would realize it's not about your ability. It never has been. It has always been about God's ability and who he is. All he asks of us is to get up, take our mat, and walk. So, Lord, give us that at-once kind of faith, that at-once kind of obedience to do what you've called us to do, whether it's something big or something small. Give us the strength, Jesus, to obey and to obey quickly. Lord, if we have relied too much on our own understanding, if we have tried to figure this thing out and it just, we can't get things to add up, Lord, that we would surrender our reasoning to you. that would be able to say, Lord, forgive me for leaning on my own understanding. Jesus, I'm going to lean on yours. Your ways are higher and your ways are better. So Jesus, I pray that we'd be encouraged today, that there's nothing that we have done in our past or even what we currently are doing that's going to take away the call you've placed on our life. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would all walk in obedience, that we would walk and pursue who you are and who you say that we are. Lord, to give us a correct identity today. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for church. Lord, I pray that people would be encouraged today by your word, that you have good things for us, you have good plans for us, and that you, God, are a good, good Father. We love you, Jesus. Thank you that we could be together to worship together and go and just study your word a little bit together this morning. Be with our pastor. Lord, be with Eddie and Stacy as they're ministering. Be with our pastor. Bring healing over his body right now. Right now, Lord, whatever he's doing, if he's able to sit up or if he's still laying down, that you would just bring such an anointing of healing over his body. I pray, Lord Jesus, that when we call him later this afternoon, that he would say he feels drastically different. Bring healing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray again for the needs of all those that are represented here. Lord, we thank you that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. To you, God, we give all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And in Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen. You are dismissed this morning. Thank you for being with us in church today. Make sure you give somebody a hug or a high five on your way out. We thank you for being with us today.